ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
We are reading this morning from the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 5, entitled Narad Muni Cursed by Prajapati Daksha, text 31. Bhratranam prayanam bhrata yonutishthati dharmaved सपुण्यबन्धुपुरुषो मरुद्भिः सह मोदते। भ्रातॄणां प्रायणं भ्राता योऽनुतिष्ठति धर्मवेत् सपुण्यबन्धुपुरुषो मरुद्भिः सह मोदते।
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. A brother aware of the principles of religion follows in the footsteps of his elder brothers. Because of being highly elevated, such a pious brother gets the opportunity to associate and enjoy with demigods like Maruts, who are all affectionate to their brothers. Purport. According to their belief in various material relationships, people are promoted to various planets. Here it is said that one who is very faithful to his brothers should follow a path similar to theirs and get the opportunity for promotion to Marudloka. Narad Muni advised Prajapati Daksha's second group of sons to follow their elder brothers and be promoted to the spiritual world. In the field of psychiatry, there is a term called risk addiction syndrome. Just like we have heard of people who are addicted to drugs, alcohol, or sex. And it's a kind of a syndrome they are addicted to. But over here, this particular term, it refers to those people who are addicted to taking huge amounts of risks in their life. They simply can't help themselves but take enormous amounts of risk in their life. And therefore, they have termed it like that. RAS. You can also call it RASA. Risk addiction syndrome. Now, if any mundane psychiatrist would look into the life of Narad Muni, would immediately put him in the category of a person who has been affected by this risk addicted syndrome. Because if we see in the life of Narad Muni the kind of risks which he has taken, any mundane psychiatrist would put him in that category of one with RAS. So I thought of taking up this theme today of, first of all, what is this risk addiction syndrome and how we can see from the light of Srimad Bhagavatam people who are addicted to this kind of syndrome. So we shall discuss three categories. Firstly, those who are the pure associates of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who are found with this syndrome. Then we have the conditioned living entity in this material world who are also affected by this syndrome. And then we have the compassionate preachers, those associates of the Supreme Lord, who are also found with this particular syndrome. Now, as far as Narad Muni, beginning with him, over here we see Narad Muni, who is taking such great risk of making 11,000 sons of Daksha Prajapati into brahmacharis. Now, just in the fourth canto, we saw what Daksha Prajapati did to Lord Shiva, who just remained silent. In Daksha Yajna, Lord Shiva, he didn't speak a single word. He was not preaching to any of the family members of Daksha Prajapati to become like him or to take up the renounced order of life. He just remained silent, and we saw what Daksha Prajapati did to the silence of Lord Shiva. And here is Narad Muni, who is taking such great risk dealing with Daksha Prajapati and speaking, not just remaining silent, but speaking, preaching, and making them into full-time devotees, totally going against the will of their father. Now, we have so many case studies of brahmacharis joining ISKCON and how much opposition they face from their parents. And as far as they are concerned, it's just one of their children. Like Giriraj Maharaj recalls, when he joined, his mother, his parents, both mother and father, they were so upset. Son of a multimillionaire, and now he's living in the swampy lands of Juhu, rat infested, so many mosquitoes. First of all, coming to India is like a big risk for an American. What to speak of living in such circumstances over here. So they sent a deprogrammer in order to make sure that our son, he is deprogrammed into understanding that what great risk he is undertaking. Now, this deprogrammer, he understood that I can't force this person to leave this society. But somehow I'll try to convince him that what kind of great risk you are taking, leaving your family. So very wonderfully, this deprogrammer is trying to deprogram Giriraj Maharaj. So alone he took him in a room, and he's explaining to him that, see, life is full of enjoyment. And you know, living in America, what enjoyment means. And you have all the money to enjoy life. What do you have over here to enjoy? So first he tried on the pretext of enjoyment, if he can convince Giriraj Maharaj. So when he was speaking about enjoyment, how you can enjoy if you come out of the society, Giriraj Maharaj said, Yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukha yonaya evate. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that this is the source of misery. We're talking of enjoyment, this is the source of misery. So now, this deprogrammer, of course, nothing made sense to him. How can someone call it source of misery? So then he thought, let me try my another weapon. So he said, okay, if you say that this is the source of misery, but you are living with your parents, such a peaceful life, at least for the sake of some peace. Over here, see what you have to do. Open these temples and preach, distribute books. It doesn't appear to be a peaceful life. Just go home and be at peace. So Giriraj Maharaj said, Dukhalayam ashashvatam. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, there can be no peace within this material world because he has stamped it as Dukhalaya. This psychiatrist was now becoming little unnerved. So then he finally said to Giriraj Maharaj, at least for the sake of your parents, they have given you this human form of life, they have nurtured you, raised you, at least for their sake, you should go back and live with them. Giriraj Maharaj said, Sarva yonishu kaunteya aham bija pradapita. Krishna is the supreme father. He is the mother and father of everyone. The psychiatrist ran out of the room holding his hairs and he told to the parents of Giriraj Maharaj, this person is beyond repair. And he said, your son has been permanently infected by Krishna. And when Srila Prabhupada learnt about that, Srila Prabhupada was simply laughing. And he liked that phrase used by this deprogrammer very much. And many of his lectures after that, Prabhupada would quote Giriraj Maharaj. So our Giriraj has been permanently infected by Krishna. And this is the glory of Krishna consciousness movement. That we want to be permanently infected by Krishna. I remember in Vrindavan, Brahmananda Prabhu and Garga Muni Prabhu, they were recalling that when they joined, even their mother, she came to meet with Prabhupada, complaining that, my two grown-up sons, you have taken them and you are kind of brainwashing them to make them into your disciples and do so many things for you. So she came with that kind of mood, complaining mood. And Srila Prabhupada so expertly dealt with mother of Brahmananda Prabhu and Garga Muni Prabhu. Srila Prabhupada told her, see, just some time ago, your two sons were loitering in the streets like hippies. No proper food, no proper shelter. Now, I feed them with such healthy food. And I've given them shelter. In fact, your true grown-up sons, I am taking care of them. You should be paying me some donation for that. So you should pay $1,000 for all that what I am doing for your two sons. And she was very much confused now. What to say after this? So she just blurted out saying, but I have already donated my two sons. What more do you want? So Prabhupada said, the problem is solved then. If you say that you have donated your two sons, then what is the complaint? How can you say and accuse me of taking your two sons when you yourself are saying that I have donated my two sons? And once you have made the donation, how can you ask them back? She was more confused. And she came out of the room and she told to Garga Muni Prabhu and Brahmananda Prabhu, this guru of yours is very intelligent. But I know you are in the right hands, so stay here. Now, we see that there were like one or two in one family who joined this particular movement. But over here, Narad Muni is making 11,000 sons of Daksha Prajapati. And Srila Prabhupada, of course, we'll be reading, you know, the consequences of the risk which Narad Muni has undertaken. And Srila Prabhupada writes also, just like Narad Muni was cursed by Daksha Prajapati because he took his 11,000 sons that you can't stay at one place. Similarly, maybe I have been cursed by the fathers, the parents of all of you, my disciples, that I also can't stay at one place. But of course, it was a benediction, as Narad Muni also took it. Now, it's not just one time Narad Muni took such kind of risk or he was affected by this risk addiction syndrome. Narsingh Puran explains that Narad Muni one time went to preach to Hiranyakashipu. Narad Muni, he entered the palace of Hiranyakashipu chanting the holy names of Radhika Raman. Now, this is definitely courageous and taking a huge amount of risk to chant the holy names of Krishna in front of Hiranyakashipu. So he entered the palace chanting the holy names of the Supreme Lord. And Hiranyakashipu became so angry, immediately he shouted at Narad Muni, "You better stop that chanting or else I'll cut your body in shreds." And immediately took out his famous Chandrahas sword. Now something about this sword, Hiranyakashipu had this Chandrahas sword which he would just hurl on someone, and this Chandrahas sword will cut that person's body into pieces and would fly and wash itself of all the blood of that person in some body of water and would boomerang and slide back into the sheath of Hiranyakashipu. Kind of a boomerang, but sword. So immediately he took out his Chandrahas sword, which was very famous. Everyone knew about that sword. So he showed it to Narad Muni. "You see this famous sword of mine? You better stop that chanting of yours." And Narad Muni, again as in this ras, in this particular syndrome, he told to Hiranyakashipu, "Better go ahead, try what your sword can do to me." And this infuriated Hiranyakashipu all the more. Immediately he hurled his sword at Narad Muni as Narad Muni was chanting the holy names. The sword passed through the body of Narad Muni, leaving it as it is. Nothing happened to Narad Muni. And because nothing happened to him, there was no blood, nothing of that sort. So it didn't have to go into any body of water. It came back into the sheath of Hiranyakashipu, and Hiranyakashipu was surprised. Everyone in the palace was surprised to see this. So Hiranyakashipu, now in a different tone, he's asking to Narad Muni, "By the way, how did you get that kind of body?" And Narad Muni said, "Because I'm chanting these holy names, I've got this transcendental body. Would you also want to have a body like mine?" And Hiranyakashipu said, "Yes, but not this through this chanting. Is there any other way that I can achieve a body like this of yours?" And then Narad Muni said, "Maybe by performing some Ashtanga yoga, you could get something closer to this." And that is when Hiranyakashipu got this idea. He went and performed those austerities, and he got some sort of body which would be indispensable. But of course, it was not like Narad Muni. It was not transcendental. So Narad Muni over here is seen taking huge amount of risk preaching. So over here you see Narad Muni taking risk on a physical level. Narad Muni even approached Kamsa. So if you see the list whom Narad Muni has approached, taking these kind of risks, approaching Hiranyakashipu, approaching Kamsa, instigating Kamsa, then Narad Muni approaching some deadly hunters, Mrigarari and Valmiki, approaching them. Now, generally when we arrange for a preaching program, we see into it that, say, a Gita course, when we arrange, we publicize, making sure that educated, cultured, and sane people come you know, for the preaching program. Imagine having a Gita course for hunters and dacoits. Generally, we don't take such kind of risks. But herein we see Narad Muni taking such kind of risk, preaching to people like Kamsa, Mrigrari, Valmiki Muni. Now, all of this was on a physical level. But Narad Muni has also taken great amount of risk in a subtle way, subtle platform, when he approached Nal Kuvar and Manigreve. Now, Nal Kuvar and Manigreve, two sons of Kuvera, they were not going to harm Narad Muni physically. They didn't have any swords. They didn't have any clothes, what to speak of swords. So Nal Kuvar and Manigreve in no way were going to, you know, affect Narad Muni on a physical level. they were too intoxicated in their own bodily concept of life to even think of Narad Muni's physical body. So Narad Muni now, as a renunciant, appears to be taking such a great risk. Now generally we don't find renunciants or brahmacharis or sannyasis, you know, like this book tables we are putting up. Don't find putting up book tables in some red light district. So generally, you know, we go for preachings, we put up our book tables. Railway platform is much safer. People are too busy to engage in these kind of acts on the railway platforms. Of course, the city of Mumbai, more or less, it's all a red light district everywhere. Samples of Nal Kuvar and Manigreve seen everywhere. So over here, we can see that how Narad Muni is taking a risk in one sense, as far as a renunciant is concerned, which would risk one's renunciation, one's brahmacharya or one's sannyas, in terms of even going in that direction where Nal Kuvar and Manigreve were naked, enjoying with other naked women. Something very dangerous to do. Risking. Risk addiction syndrome. But of course, Narad Muni is beyond, is transcendental. And therefore, that was his pure compassion which induced him to taking such kind of risk. Now, we have in this category of subtle risk, we have other personalities who also took these risks, but because they were not on the platform of Narad Muni, they succumbed and they had to pay the consequences for taking those kind of risks. We have Ajamil, who also risked, who just looked in that direction. Now, as far as Narad Muni is concerned, Narad Muni approached and he was having, you know, kind of conversation, preaching while Nal Kuvar and Manigreve were in this position. But Ajamil, just for some time, just, you know, he saw that particular scene and Ajamil was totally shaken. And that risk paid him a lot, entire life. You know, practically, virtually, he had to see hell, you know, for that risk which he took to look in that direction. And of course, he was battling hard to take it out of his mind. But it was so powerful. It was so deeply affecting him. Of course, now in Kali Yuga, people are battling to see such scenes. At least Ajamil was battling to take it out of his mind. But people are battling to, you know, just go ahead and they might consider Ajamil, you know, a freak. That you had all the opportunity and, you know, maybe you should have taken photos and, you know, taken videos and all that. But here in, this is the situation in Kali Yuga which we see. And we have another example of Saubari Muni. Now, nobody would even dream or even imagine that just looking at some two fishes bumping into each other, you know, it would be some kind of risk. But Saubari Muni, there was a great risk for Saubari Muni when he, you know, just thought about that which linked to how he can also enjoy in a similar fashion. And Saubari Muni became a victim of this particular risk which he took, and he was under the water. And which waters? The holy waters of Jamuna. So which proves that even if we might be in such a holy environment, risk is everywhere. And then we have in Ramayana, beautiful example of Hanumanji. Now Hanumanji, when he was sent by Lord Ram to look for Sita, and he comes to Lanka, and he enters the palace of Ravana. And Hanumanji is now in the inner chambers of Ravana, the bedroom of Ravan, which is definitely very risky for a brahmachari to enter into someone's bedroom, and that too Ravana's bedroom. And herein, Hanumanji is scanning through all the queens of Ravana, trying to locate where is Sita. And, you know, at one point of time, Hanumanji is thinking within himself that what am I doing over here? I am a brahmachari and I am in Ravana's bedroom scanning through all these queens of Ravana. But then he said that, but I am not getting disturbed because I know I am doing it in the service of Lord Ram. So there is no agitation, no disturbance, although it's a big risk which any brahmachari would take in order to serve his master. Now, in case of Hanumanji, there was sense object which his eyes were seeing, but his mind was thinking of Lord Ram. Now, maybe in our case, we might have Lord Ram in front of our eyes, but our mind might have all those sense objects. So, you know, that's the difference between we and Hanumanji. That Hanumanji in front of his eyes had all the sense objects, but in his mind he had Lord Ram's remembrance. So we have Hanumanji who could also be seen taking this kind of risk addiction syndrome, but because he's also on a transcendental platform, he was unaffected. One time Srila Prabhupada, he took a cab, it was in New York, and Srila Prabhupada was along with his servant. And as soon as they sat in the cab, the taxi driver immediately asked Srila Prabhupada, "So, you look like some Indian Swami, and I've heard that these Indian Swamis, they can perform miracles." So he asked Prabhupada, "What miracle you can perform?" And unusually, Prabhupada said something which really affected this taxi driver. Srila Prabhupada said, "I can enter into a room full of naked women and yet remain undisturbed." And practically, this taxi driver was shaken to the core. His steering wheel shook and he shook. Practically, was about to bump into someone. He said, "Wow, that's real miracle." Because he could relate to only these kind of miracles. So, and of course, Prabhupada, we can say, was on that particular platform. So, herein, in the example of Narad Muni and all these other personalities, we can see from a psychiatric point of view, they seem to be affected by this risk addiction syndrome. Now, we have the pure associates of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the spiritual world, and in Krishna Leela we see how these pure associates of the Supreme Lord, they also seem to be affected by this risk addiction syndrome. We see when Krishna decided to kill Aghasur. In Aghasur Vadh Leela, these cowherd boyfriends of Krishna, when they look at Aghasur, you know, they are discussing that this is definitely a serpent. Some were saying this looks like a big, huge mountain. And then finally they concluded, no, this is a serpent and this serpent has come to devour us. So they knew that this is a serpent and this serpent has opened its mouth so huge. to devour us, and yet they took this risk of entering. And everyone is saying, and they entered clapping their hands. So much, you know, they were into this mood of taking this risk. They were discussing that. Some were saying, but this serpent might kill us. When Krishna is here, why fear? Krishna is here, he'll protect us. So we see that these cowherd boys, they took such huge risk entering into the mouth of Aghasur, and that was definitely commendable on their part, because of course they were induced by pure love. So they entered, and even Krishna, he was a little afraid when he saw. In fact, he wanted to stop them, that please don't take these kind of risks, you know. But then of course Krishna also, he reciprocates with the pure love associates. So he killed Aghasur and saved them. And then we have in Govardhan Leela, how the Brajvasis, they took risk. And they also seem to be affected by this risk addiction syndrome. Now, Nanda Maharaj, he first took the risk of not worshipping Indra, which was a great risk, and which was seen the consequences of it. The kind of risk Nanda Maharaj took, just following his little child. And it was not that Nanda Maharaj and the other Brajvasis, they knew that Krishna is going to lift the Govardhan hill. It was not that, you know, they were aware of the Bhagavata of Krishna. For them, Krishna was just their little child. So in that sense, if we see, they were taking pure risk of not worshipping Indra. And then of course, whatever happened, and when Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill again, Krishna invited everyone, please come under this hill. This was another, you know, instance of they taking risk of going under the... Now, any psychiatrist again would see, you know, the Brajvasis entering into this huge hill which has been held only with a little finger of a 7-year-old boy, will definitely categorize them. They are all affected by this risk addiction syndrome. Taking such enormous risk, going under this huge hill, any time this hill might fall. And it was not that, you know, some of the Brajabasis, when Krishna said, all of you now come under, they were having some ishtagoshti, emergency ishtagoshti. Should we go? Should we not? Is really Krishna serious? Is he going to, you know, hold that all that while and protect us? Or should we arrange for some support columns? Or should we, you know, some reinforcement beams from here, you know, get from Mathura some, and, you know, help Krishna. So, you know, they were not having those kind of doubts. Immediately they took the risk and they went underneath the hill. And then we also have the gopis in Ras Leela. Again, you know, Ras again, we understood. So they also fall in this category of they took such huge amount of risk of leaving their husbands, their family members in the middle of the night, knowing that they won't be allowed now again forever. And it is explained that when Krishna, when he played upon his celebrated flute on the day of Sharad Purnima, each gopi heard only her name through the sound of that flute. When Krishna played his flute, the sound of the flute, when it entered the ear holes of the gopis, it translated into their particular names which Krishna was addressing to. So over here, the intensity of the risk increases, because none of the gopis knew that the others are also being called by Krishna. So they were individually taking risk of coming out of their houses in the middle of the night to surrender to Krishna, thinking that I am the only one Krishna is calling. And then of course, when everyone came, they found that it was actually Krishna calling everyone, and then of course the Ras Leela took place. But it was huge risk which they took. And we know that story when Krishna had a headache, and how the gopis, Narad Muni was sent again to look for the dust of Krishna's pure devotees, and the gopis, they scraped out their dust from their feet and, you know, gave, you know, some of them gave that, you know, reserve stock in case later on if Krishna has headache, you know, you can use that, you know, for later uses also. So these gopis were scraping out, and Narad Muni is telling, you will go to hell for this. You are taking great amount of risk, going to hell forever. And they said, yes, we don't mind taking this risk to go to hell forever if we can satisfy Krishna and relieve his headache even for a moment. Now again, if any psychiatrist would hear about this, would definitely categorize these gopis with this particular syndrome, risk addiction syndrome. So over here we see that these pure associates of the Supreme Lord, they took these risks, but they were induced by pure love. Because they were induced by pure love, they could take such huge risk to please Krishna. And then we see the second category, the conditioned living entities, we. First of all, we have taken the greatest risk. We are also falling in the category of this syndrome. Which is the greatest risk which we have taken? That we left the spiritual world. We left Krishna. What could be greater risk than that? To leave the spiritual world and to come in this dangerous world. Now this Guinness Book of World Records is full of people who do dangerous things. Who are taking such risk, jumping from some buildings. Like there was a team of people from Holland, and they would take these kind of risks. Some of them, they would climb some high-rise building, and they would, you know, take a pole suspended from the terrace of the building and hang from that pole and look down. Now, high-rise building over there, which means, you know, it's like 50, 100 stories buildings, and just suspended from a pole, hanging from that pole, they would look down, and when they were asked why you would do that, and they would say that when we look down, we want to experience what palpitation you get in your heart as you are looking down from this high-rise building. What is the experience in your heart? What is that fear in your heart? Now, some of them, doing such kind of risky, adventurous things, some of them were really far out. What they would do, they would stand on a railway track, and when the train would be coming, approaching towards them, they would start running towards the train. This was something really far out. And when they were asked why they would do that, so they explained that when they would be just close to the engine and the engine driver, they would look into the eyes of the engine driver to see what is the expression on the face of the engine driver, what is the expression. Just to see that, they would run towards the train, and then they would jump and save themselves. They were, you know, of course, not too much into that syndrome, but they would take some precautions. They would jump and save themselves. So one of them, he was doing that once. He was running towards the train. As the train was approaching towards him, he was running towards the train. And just when he was about to hit by the train, he just jumped on one side. He landed on his hands, and the train then passed. And as he was getting up, he saw a picture of someone which he found to be very far out than what he was into. And that was the picture of Srila Prabhupada. And that was the book, the back of Sri Ishopanishad. Somebody, you know, just threw it on the track. So he picked that, you know, he looked first at Srila Prabhupada's picture. This brahmachari, I met him, he was telling me the story personally. When he looked at the picture of Srila Prabhupada, he was thinking, I have never seen a more far out person than this person. Because he was into all these, you know, far out things and taking risks and adventures. So there, sitting on the track, he read the entire Isha Upanishad. Now, Isha Upanishad is a book, definitely, which is very far out. You know, the Lord is inside of everything and the Lord is outside of everything. The Lord walks but yet doesn't walk. And these are all far out concepts for, you know, some ordinary people, what to speak of. Yes, he was immediately attracted. So, immediately from that railway platform, he went to the nearest ISKCON temple and now he's a wonderful devotee. He's a brahmachari from Holland. So, we see that in this material world, people take such huge amount of risk entering into this Guinness Book of World Records, full of people taking such risk. In fact, everyone should be in that Guinness Book of World Records because we all have taken the greatest risk of leaving the spiritual world. So, there could be nothing greater than breaking that record of risking or getting affected by this risk addiction syndrome. And we see that when people who are conditioned by the three modes, when they are seem to be taking these risks, they are induced by false ego. All these people who are mentioned in these books, why do they do? Why do they take such kind of risks? They are induced by false ego. Just like the pure associates of Krishna, they take risk for Krishna because they are induced by pure love to please Krishna. Whereas conditioned living entity taking risk of going farther away from Krishna, they are taking risk induced by false ego and envy towards Krishna. And then we have the compassionate preachers of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who come into this dangerous zone taking great risk. Like Srila Prabhupada, he was revealing to Bhavananda Prabhu. And this was something very mystical. Bhavananda Prabhu was saying, Prabhupada once said that, actually I didn't want to come in this material world. But Krishna, he forced me. And Krishna told me, you go and you do this for me. And I was arguing with Krishna, no, I don't want to go. It's a very risky place. It's a very dangerous place. And Krishna told me that, don't worry, I'll take care of everything. You just go and write these books. So Prabhupada was speaking this, revealing this to Bhavananda Prabhu. And we have so many examples of compassionate preachers of the Supreme Lord who come in this material world. We have Prahlad Maharaj who is saying that I want to risk to go to hell. Vasudev Dutt also, who is saying that I want to take this risk to go to hell, take all the sinful reactions of everyone within this material world, let everyone go back home, back to Godhead. Now, yes, we may quote them in our Bhagavatam classes, what risk they are taking, but if we are asked to pray like that, like in one temple, they introduced this one prayer of Kunti Maharani, Vipada Santuta Shashwat. And then there were so many calamities. And they had to stop that prayer. And then, you know, they were a little careful. There was one devotee from Vrindavan. Whenever he would chant the Sikshashtakam prayers, he would skip out that one verse. Mama Janmani Janmanishware. And he literally confessed saying that I am very fearful. If in case, you know, Krishna takes that one prayer of mine seriously, I don't want to take birth again. So we see that these preachers like Narad Muni, Srila Prabhupada, Prahlad Maharaj, Vasudev Dutt. Very interestingly, the episode of Chota Haridas, it's mentioned that Chota Haridas, who was banished by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so heavy on Chota Haridas, but it is revealed that actually Chota Haridas became an instrument of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's compassion on all of us in this age of Kali Yuga. Now, ordinarily, we know the episode of Chota Haridas, that he went to beg alms, some rice, you know, to cook for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, ordinarily, if, you know, somebody would go to beg alms in someone's house, you'll find during the daytime, you know, the housewives giving the alms. So, you know, it was a common practice that, you know, anybody begging alms would receive alms from the housewife of the house. So it was, in that sense, not a kind of an offense. This was something seen, you know, as a usual custom. But we see that when he was banished for that particular slight offense of his, which appeared to be an offense, he committed suicide, went to Sangam, and he committed suicide. Now in this age of Kali Yuga, if we try to follow in the footsteps of Chota Haridas, then there would be long queue at the Sangam. You know, because mentally, we are practically committing these offenses at every moment. So why Chota Haridas committed suicide? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through Chota Haridas, he wanted to absolve all the mental offenses of all the Kaliyugans who would be committing in their mind in that particular light, all of us, so that he can take all those mental offenses of ours and absolve them in his committing suicide. So that was, in fact, compassion of Chota Haridas. So over here we see these three categories: the pure associates who are seen affected by this risk addiction syndrome, but they are seen affected, induced by pure love for Krishna. Then the conditioned living entities, we in this material world, we also are affected, taking high risks, coming in this material world, but this is induced by false ego and envy. And we have the compassionate preachers, like Narad Muni, taking such great risk. They are seen affected from the psychiatric point of view with this risk addiction syndrome, but they are induced out of pure compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. So the lesson which we can learn is that just like we have taken this risk of leaving Krishna, let us take this risk of leaving sense gratification of this world. And for us, this might be a big risk. And of course, Krishna will also consider this as a big risk that we might take to leave sense gratification of this world and go back to the spiritual world. And then only we can save ourselves. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. It's already 9:05. We can discuss personally. We are a little over time. Sorry for that. I won't take risk of asking for questions. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.